Good morning. We're reading 1 Corinthians 2:16, 1 Corinthians 2:16. For we have known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. And also we'll be reading from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus.
Blessing it is to be here on this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. I do want to let you know that if you're visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guests, and we're glad for you being here on this morning. There are a few who are not here this morning. We know maybe for sickness. Let's keep those in our prayers, keep those in our minds, give them a call so we can know how they're doing, because we are definitely our brother's keeper. So we definitely want to keep that in mind. The mind of Christ. As God's conscious creation, which separates us from the animal kingdom, which separates us from marine life, separates us from plant life, we have the ability to think, to feel, and to act. Solomon a long time ago said something that was very powerful. In Proverbs 27 and verse number 20, as it relates to the lamp of the Lord is the candlestick of man, where he searches the inward parts of the belly. It's interesting that we, being conscious creation, have the ability to think, to be able to connect ideas and thoughts and languages together. And no wonder God himself, who is a conscious being, he is the one that gave us language. He is the one that gave us conscience. As a matter of fact, when you think of the conscience of man, the conscience, when properly directed and instructed, when properly educated, can do magnificent things. As a matter of fact, when we consider the conscience of man, the Apostle Paul would use this particular phraseology. He would use the phraseology as the inward man. It's interesting, as I was looking up some things and I was thinking about the temple and how the temple was a construction, yet the temple had an inner part to it. The same thing with the human being. The human being, according to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 23, is made up of body, soul, and spirit. With that being said, we understand that when we are talking about one another, we are not just talking about someone's outward flesh appearance, but we're talking about their conscience, their soul, their will, their intellect, their being. Friends, I want us to consider the Apostle Paul as it relates to the mind of Christ. When I think about what the Apostle Paul had to deal with in Romans chapter 7 and verse number 15, 16 in that area, he understood that there was an inner being, an inner man there. The Apostle Paul would continue as he would talk to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 3 and verse number 16, and how God seeks to strengthen the inner man through his spirit. Through the Spirit's teaching. But we also know, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 16, that even in the midst of suffering, though the outward man perish, the inner man is being renewed day by day. It is something about the inner man. It is something about having the mind of Christ. And the question we have to ask ourselves as God's conscience, blood-bought creation. Now, you notice how I put in blood-bought now. I'm not just talking about God's conscious creation. For all men have conscience. All men have the ability to think, feel, and act. But it's something different about God's blood-bought creation. Because their conscience has been cleansed from dead works. Now they can serve the living God. Hebrews 9, verse 14 and 15. There's a big difference there. But I want us to take that thought and I want us to transition into the mind of Christ. When you consider Philippians chapter 2 verses 1 through 5, Here we understand the Apostle Paul as he is talking to the church at Philippi, giving them great encouragement, yet challenging them. And friends, all of us need to be challenged. There's not a person on the face of the earth, yea, the church, that don't need to be challenged. All of us need to be challenged to be better, to do better, to be righteous, to be humble, to submit, to look to others better than self. No wonder he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Friends, there's something about the Christ that we can look to as it relates to humility. But if you turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 16, that whole chapter, that whole pericope, that whole section of scripture is dealing with a dichotomy. What dichotomy? The dichotomy between the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of man, versus the wisdom of God. Now, I want us to consider this real quick before we go into this thought process. Having the mind of Christ is vitally important. Please listen. It is so important that it cannot afford to be tainted, corrupted by the wisdom of man. Now, I need us to think about that. Because having the mind of Christ is exactly that. Keep in mind, we are God's blood-bought conscience creation. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Because of that, God wants us to follow Christ. He wants us to follow this mindset, this attitude, this thought process. So we think about passages like what we just gave. But friends, when we consider the very mind of Christ, what does it mean? Before we look into 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 16, we have to understand that there are some things associated with mankind. Number one, it is associated with mankind, the doctrines and commandments of men. Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 and following. There is also associated the wisdom of man, and we'll look at that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But it is also associated to man, the philosophies of man. Colossians 2, verse 8. Now, why do we put those three together? We put those three together because if we're not careful, as God's blood-bought, conscious creation, the church of Christ, the people of God, what we will do, we will begin mixing. We will mix the doctrines and the commandments of men, the wisdom of men, and the philosophies of men, and we'll try to mix it with the mind of Christ, and water and oil don't mix. Think about that point. Water and oil don't mix. Now, I was a mechanic for 20 years. Still do a little bit on the side. You need a little help, give me a ring. But when a car came into my shop, and the oil looked like coffee with cream in it, we would tell the customer, we got a problem here. Well, what's the problem? There has to be some type of water jacket that is cracked. Because water is going through the head and is designed to cool the head off so it can keep the temperature below 180 degrees. And because of that, if the head is cracked, then it's allowing water to go into the oil jacket, into the oil reservoir, thus filling up the oil pan, and water and oil doesn't mix, which causes the rings, which causes the seals, and which causes everything on the inside to begin to rust. Wrong move. It's the same thing. Listen, friends, please. It's the same thing that Jesus talked about with Matthew 15, 7 through 9. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 16. And Paul talks to the Colossians, Colossians 2 and verse number 8. The doctrines and commandments of men, the wisdom of men, and the philosophies of men, when it's mixed with the mind of Christ, it don't mix. They don't mix. So, what does it mean to have the mind of Christ? This is what it means. When we consider 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I promise you I won't keep you long. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when we consider the mind of Christ, look at verse number 6. However, Paul says, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. If you want to put in your Bibles, Romans 11, verse 25, Romans 16, 25, Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 5, it'll fit right here. The hidden wisdom of which God ordained before the ages of our glory, or for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, listen to this, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Some want to say, well, see, heaven is going to be a place we can't even fathom. But that's not the context. The context is dealing with revelation. God's revealed will. Why? It goes all the way down to verse number 16. God wants man to understand that he has to have the mind of Christ. And the only way that God can relate anything to man, a miracle must take place. What's that miracle? God's will has to be revealed to man through the Spirit, through the apostles, through Jesus Christ, in order for us to understand and know what God wants. Which means, in order for me to know the will of God and have the mind of Christ, I have to read his will. Friends, please hear me. Don't say, I have the mind of Christ, yet I follow the doctrines and commandments of men. I follow the wisdom of the world. I follow the philosophies of man. Because philosophy is nothing but a study of wisdom. The doctrines and commandments of man are only the teachings of what man conjures up in his own mind. The wisdom of man is only that which man comes to his mind and he gets it from other sources outside of himself. Here, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, notice what he says in verse 10. But God has revealed them to us, how? Through his Spirit. Do we know that the Spirit is truth? John chapter 16. The Spirit cannot lie, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. How can I know what God thinks? The Spirit has to reveal it. And the Spirit revealed it through the apostles. Thus the apostles wrote, and thus we read it, and therefore we can have faith, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So good point. Now I need us to consider that. Because if we're not going to the Word of God for our strength, for our encouragement, for our wisdom, for our philosophy, then it's the wrong one. And friends, Christians, we have to keep in mind that we came out of the world and God saved us. But God gave us a different way of thinking. What thinking is that? It's the Word of God. I really tried to filter all of my thinking through this book. We know the Apostle Paul did. We know the Apostle Peter did. We know Barnabas did. Wouldn't it behoove us to filter all of our thinking through this book? Which means that we have to saturate our minds with God's mind. Notice verse number 11. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? How do I know what Randy Scott is thinking unless he says something? Even his actions can deceive. But when he begins to talk, I know what's in his mind. Jesus would say it like this. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's what Jesus says. So when we consider the very mind of Christ, how can I know what's in man's mind? He must tell me. Now notice the latter part of verse number 11. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. How can I know? Chris, how can I know what God thinks? God has to tell me. How can I have the mind of Christ? Shirtle, God has to tell me. And how has God told me? He tells me the same thing he tells everyone else on the face of the earth. He tells me through this glorious and this great book. Amen? Think about this, friends. Because this is where many in the world receives their instruction from sources outside of the book. But as the people of God, what we, if I can use this word in a positive way, what we pride ourselves in is this: our thinking, our actions, our direction, our commandments, our destiny is dependent upon this book. Us having the mind of Christ is dependent upon this book. But why? Look at verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teach, but that which the Holy Spirit teaches. Here it is, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And as the people of God, we want to make sure that we are discerning the word of God. There is nothing that you do in this world without discernment. When you come to a stop sign, you have to discern whether you go through it or you stop it, stop at it. When people usually go through stop signs over a period of time, if they continue that practice, eventually they're going to run into someone or they're going to get a ticket. Discernment is part of life. If you want a happy marriage, you better learn discernment. Because if you don't discern, you can make your wife mad all the time. If you don't discern, you can make your husband upset and bitter towards you all the time. But if we use the word of God, God's word will teach us even discernment. But the fool doesn't want to discern. And having the mind of Christ helps us to discern whether we're going through persecution, whether it's at home when we're esteeming others better than self, or whether we're listening to God's word. Notice what he goes on to say. But he who is spiritual judges all things. Friends, did you see that? He who is spiritual, think about this. He judges all things. There's not one thing that comes to his mind. There's not one thing that he wants to do. There's not one direction that he wants to go in without checking it out first through the word of God. When do we get into most trouble? When we make steps and directions and decisions without consulting the word of God. When did the prophets of old get in trouble? When did some king get in trouble? When he did not consult God. And having the mind of Christ, which means that I walk slow and I listen to what God has said through his word. Why? I am a blood-bought, conscious creation. And because I'm blood-bought, and because I'm a conscious creation, I have the ability to think, feel, and act. And notice what he goes on to say. I'm almost done here. Notice. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Is there anyone on the face of the earth that can teach God anything? The answer is no. I say this, friends. It is in our best interest to consult God before we do anything. Well, Brother Bonner, are you saying before I jump in the car to consult God, I think we ought to be rational? But I think I ought to consult God before I jump in my car and go somewhere I shouldn't be going. I think I ought to consult God before I send a text that I shouldn't be sending. I think I ought to consult God before I say something to my spouse before I say it. I think I ought to consult God before I say something to my children before I regret it. God has given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge. Verse 16, here it is. But we have the mind. Listen to that. When you consider mind, you consider thoughts. You consider words. You consider sentences and syntax. You consider syllables and letters, ideas, and you connect them together. Think about this. And this is why, friends, you got to teach your children how to read. And for some of us, let's not speak slang and Ebonics. Y'all will get there when you get home. Let's speak the language of God. Because having the mind of Christ means that I'm taking God's thoughts, His syntax, His letters, His ideas, His concepts, His wisdom, and I am putting it to with mine, and that's understanding. Proverbs 4, verse number 7. In all thy getting, get an understanding. Know what you're doing before you do it. If you don't understand what you're doing, don't do it. And in all thy getting, get an understanding. But he says, but we have the mind of Christ. I'm going to give you 3 points and lesson be yours. All that was introduction. You believe that? That was all introduction material. Number one, developing our mind for proper living. We must develop our mind for proper living. We must develop the mindset of Christ, Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17, which means that I hold fast to God's word and God's word only. Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and look at verse number 13 and notice the power of the word of God. Friends, the power, as the apostle Paul would say, is not in us. The power is in God. As Christians, as the people of God, we believe that the power is not in us. And even the Thessalonian brethren in verse number 13, for this reason, we also thank God without stopping. Because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Here it is, which also energizes us. The word effectively works is the Greek word energeo, which literally means it empowers, it energizes. If you ever feel weak, and if you ever feel as if you don't have any spiritual energy, go to the word of God. It energizes us. It gives you great confidence, great courage. I see why people in the world that we live in today, they're cowards. I see why people in the world today don't have the strength to move forward. Friends, when you read the word of God and you engulf your mind with the word of God, you have the mind of Christ. Friends, it empowers you, strengthens you, encourages you. This is why you can look men in their eye and say, this is what God says, and we're standing on it. When you look your spouse in the eye and say, no, this is what God says, we're going to church. You look at Boston, y'all, and say, no, this is what God says. I won't be there Sunday. Why? The power's in the word. Power's in Christ. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12 says same thing. Number two, dutiful submission is seen as pleasure. Did you hear that? Dutiful submission is seen as pleasure. Jesus always did those things that pleased his Father. Notice Hebrews 5, verse 8 and 9. Notice Hebrews 5, verse 8 and 9 real quick. And notice what our Lord did for us. Because of the power that he had, the submission that he had, and notice what your Bible here has to say. For though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. It is because of Jesus' submission and his humility, friends, that he was able to become the author of eternal salvation. And when we have the same submission because of the mind of Christ, we're going to end up where he is, and that is at the right hand of the throne of God. All because we have the mind of Christ. Yet we got people giving up on Christ. It's funny, God didn't give up on us. He sent his son. Don't give up on Christ, friends. Don't give up on the Lord. Don't give up on righteousness. Don't give up on morality, which comes forth from God. Matter of fact, no God, no morality. And because God is a moral being, I can be a moral being as well when I take on the mind of Christ, which teaches me submission, which puts me in line with God. But lastly, diligently applying his mindset to our, number one, our family. Pray together. I know I need to do a better job with this. You know, sometimes, let me just go ahead and be frank with y'all. Sometimes we're so busy. We're doing our own thing. At least in my house, I'm going to call it what it is. Everybody's doing their own thing that the man can't even lead like he needs to lead. It's hard to lead when no one's around you. That's a good point. Think about that, friends. Parents, dads, get your family around you so you can lead them. I was talking to a good friend the other day. And him and I was waiting on Mike to come out of practice. And him and I was on the phone, and he was talking about his young son. He said, you know, it's interesting. He's like 5 or 6. And he said, he can ask Google anything, and Google will tell him. And I said, isn't that unfortunate that Google has taken your job? Think about that. There is a connection as it relates to God being mine and the Father being mine and children being mine, and I'm supposed to take the mind of God and give it to them. So you pray together. Talk spiritual things. Things that matter. You bless one another often. You wish one another well. But children, that means, Mike, you got to come out your room and you got to be blessed by your parents. You know what that means? That takes some humility. And friends, that's not easy. Because we live in a very, listen, segregated world. And I'm not talking about skin color. I'm talking about in your own house. Everybody got their own room and they do their own thing. We have to be careful. God's people were always what? Together. No wonder elders, when a sheep go astray, they're supposed to leave the 99 and go after the one. Why? Because he's in danger by himself. So I go out there and punctuate, I go get him, and I bring him back to the people of God. Why? That's the mind of Christ. So as a father, I got to lead. I got to protect. I got to pray. I got to wish well. I got to talk spiritual things. Because that's what's going to matter in the end. When a man is on his deathbed, he's not asking for his IRA. He's not asking for his mutual funds, money market accounts. He's not asking about the car he restored. He's not asking about the farm that he has. He's not asking about the animals that he owned. You know what he's asking for? He's asking for his children and making sure that they're right with God. Oh, I can prove that. Joseph gathered his sons together, gathered his sons together and his grandsons together, and he blessed all of them. He's on his deathbed. Got to apply that mindset. Number two, diligently applying God's mindset to our personal life. Philippians 2, verse 12 through 14, working out our salvation honestly. Knowing that God is working his will out in my life, therefore I'm faithful. Don't complain when, and remember, you're a Christian. There's no reason for us to complain if we're in Christ. I don't care how bad it gets down here. There is not one reason to complain. I can prove it. Philippians 2 and verse number 14. Do all things without what? That's the proof right there. You know what we do? We give ourselves excuses sometimes. I was talking to a guy at the gym the other day. He said, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing good. I can't complain. He said, no one will listen to you. I said, the right one will. Think about that. And you know what he said? I don't even know if he's a Christian or not. He said, no, there's no reason for us to complain. I said, you're right. We're living. You know, there's no reason for us to complain as Christians. If we was to die today, guess where we're going? Back home to God. There's no reason. Kelly, no reason to complain. Kim, no reason to complain. We're going back home to the Lord. Because in that complaining, we're actually telling God, I'm not content. Lastly, our secular and social pursuits. In Ecclesiastes 9 and verse number 10, whatever you find your hand to do, do it all you might. We want to work hard. We want to show our employer that I'm a Christian, and because I'm a Christian, you don't have to watch me. I'm going to do my job because you told me this is what I need to do. This is what I need to accomplish. He told you, you like watching your people all the time? The answer is no. I want to give you a job and know that it's being done. And as Christians, nobody should have to watch us. Why? Because God watches us, Garrett. And because God watches us, we want to make sure that we work hard. We're doing what is right. We're not cutting corners. We're upright and people of integrity. We're Christians. We have the mind of Christ. Friends, I don't know how much more applicable I can get. But I do know this. But having the mind of Christ is not simple. It requires holiness. It requires us realizing that God is holy. One brother said that holy means otherly. O-T-H-E-L-R-Y. That's foolish. God is set apart. And he's set apart from sin and evil and transgression. And God wants us to be just like him. 1 Peter 1 and 15 and 16. Be ye holy even as I am holy. What does it mean to have the mind of Christ? Be holy. Friends, we're going to heaven. This church is going to heaven. We want you to be part of it. We want you to be faithful to God. We want you to have the mind of Christ. Before you open your mouth ever again, ask yourself this. Where can I find scripture for what I'm about to say? At home. Amen. At home. So sometimes we think we can tell our spouses anything. Friends, we can't. God hears us. And we want our prayers to be answered, 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. And we want to be a submissive people, verse number 7. We want to make sure that whenever God, whatever God says in his word, that's what I want to do. Why? Brother Brian Braswell, him and I was talking yesterday, and he said the difference between someone who is faithful and unfaithful is the heart. How's your heart? How's your mind? Let's think about that. You're not a child of God. He wants us to have the right mindset, the right way of thinking. He wants us to put the pieces together. Well, we're going to discuss a little bit more of that tonight. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Confess him to be the Christ. Repent of your sin. It's interesting that repentance is a change of mind, which leads to a change of life. Thinking. Be baptized in water. You know what baptism is? Baptism is the washing of your body, one. But it is the cleansing of the conscience by the blood of Christ, too. Which means that it takes me thinking in order to believe on Jesus. It takes me thinking to confess Jesus. And it takes me thinking to repent of my sins. And it takes me thinking to have my sins washed away. God says, I want to clean you up inside and out. What a great God we serve. And friends, I know you want to go to heaven because you're here this morning. But maybe you're a child of God. And you're thinking, well, you don't filter all your thinking through the Word of God. Can I beg you this morning? Don't do that no more. Which means that you might have less words to say now. Think about that. Because every idle word is going to be meeting us in the judgment. Which means that my words ought to have some substance. It ought to have some meaning. It ought to have some maturity. It ought to have some spirituality to it. The mind of Christ. I'll leave you with this word, this statement. It's not easy being like Jesus. It's not easy. But it's so worth it when you are like him. Amen. Stand.